Hello, and welcome to the Tyrese Halliburton episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 126, which is in honor of his career offensive rating of 126 at the time of recording, which ranks 6th on the all-time list. Recording this one on the afternoon of Wednesday, November 26th in the year of our Lord 2025. My name is Logan Wortman, and before we get into anything, I'd like to first say thank you for listening. Please be sure to hit us up on Patreon or buy me a coffee if you'd like to support the show. That's patreon.com/hooptheory or buymeacoffee.com/hooptheory. All of our links can also be found in the description of both the show and the episode, wherever you're watching or listening to this. We would also greatly appreciate it if you'd rate the show, leave a like or a comment. Of course, be sure to subscribe and follow the feed. And lastly, we would also love it if you sent something into our mailbag for us to read and react to, basketball related or otherwise. You can send those over to hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. And without further ado, let's get into today's episode. And so since it is the day before Thanksgiving, I thought it'd be a fun idea to go through every NBA team and give just one thing that they can be grateful for, thankful for this year. And so I'm going to go through that and do that along with my power rankings here. I'm going to go through from worst to best to give you my power rankings for the, where are we at? The 15 to 20 game mark. Most teams have played around that number of games so far, which is about a quarter of the way through the year, I guess. A little bit less than a quarter, probably. Maybe like 20%, we'll call it. So starting off at number 30, I've got the Brooklyn Nets. Not a lot to be grateful for with the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, there's Michael Porter Jr. playing well. What I have written down here is trade pieces playing well for the most part. Mainly Michael Porter Jr. I guess there's Nick Claxton, who I feel like he still has some trade stock around the league. Cam Thomas hasn't been awesome. But for the most part, Michael Porter Jr. has been playing very, very well this season. And there's guys there, I guess, in Brooklyn that you can think about, you know, the assets that you can get from them down the line if a contender comes calling, you know, wanting to make an upgrade at the deadline. So I guess that's one thing to kind of look forward to or like hope for, you know, in the future for this Brooklyn Nets franchise. I don't think you're the worst team here as far as like things to be grateful for, even though you are arguably the worst right now in the NBA in terms of being able to win games. I still think that there's teams with a worse future, not as much hope, you know, to go around. And so I think that's something to be grateful for also, that you're not the bottom of the barrel there. But next we have the Washington Wizards at number 29. Something that the Wizards can be thankful for is Keyshawn George looking like an absolute steal. Alex Saar also playing very, very well. And then also your rookie this year, Trey Johnson, the lottery pick, number 6 overall pick, I believe, out of Texas. He doesn't look bad from what I've seen so far. He's not like necessarily jumping off the page at all, but Keyshawn George for sure. And Alex Saar, I think, is really developing into really good young players that, you know, are going to have a long future in this league for sure. So I think that's something to be grateful for with, the Wizards, a team that's in the position they're in, similar to the Nets, you know, very bottom of the league in terms of wins. I believe they got their second win last night, actually. I was about to say they only have one win, but I believe they're 2-15 now after beating the Hawks last night. But next at 28th in the league, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. And also, I guess I didn't mention beforehand this, these power rankings, the kind of vision for them isn't necessarily just like how the teams are doing right now. It's more kind of a mixture of that with just kind of their status as contenders, like how likely I think they are to win the title ultimately this season. Yeah, with that out of the way, I have the Pelicans here at 28. Not much to be grateful for in New Orleans, honestly, especially with your front office making some of the most baffling decisions over the past, ever since they've come into power there, really, which is a pretty short amount of time. Joe Dumars, the current general manager there. Yeah, you guys losing your first round pick this season. You traded that away in the draft last year to get Derek Queen when you could have just taken him at 7th. You know, he was still on the board at 13th, and you traded up from 20 or 22, somewhere in there. You traded up from that pick. Maybe it was even higher. It might have been 19th or 18th, whatever the pick that got Asa Newell was. You traded that to the Hawks to move up to 13th to grab Derek Queen. Right when it happened, everybody was like, that pick, your pick this year might be the first pick in the draft in a much, much more loaded draft class than the past couple of years have been. This rookie class is looking awesome, to be honest, but this next one is looking even better as far as the top is concerned. There's three franchise guys potentially with AJ DeBanza, Darren Peterson, and Cameron Boozer. Any of those guys would be, you know, a great, like getting the third pick in this year's draft might be like, that might be one of the best years to get a third pick in the draft. You know what I mean? And the Pelicans, definitely that's looking like that might be their pick or even higher. Obviously the lottery can change things, but you're going to be somewhere up there in the top six or seven, I'm sure. To actually name something, though, to be thankful for, because that is not one of them. You're not going to have your pick this year just so you can have Derek Queen. The like silver lining there is like Derek Queen, he hasn't looked terrible. It would be very bad if he just wasn't an NBA player at all and if he was just a bust. But yeah, he's playing pretty well. He's not bad, but still definitely not worth what you just gave up to get him. At least not, you know, the process. It might end up like being very fluky and then, you know, wherever your pick goes, the guys available, none of them are as good as Derek Queen ultimately. Maybe that's the case. That's pretty unlikely, I'd say, but still that's like, it's a crazy process to do that. And then Zion Williamson, you know, he hasn't played zero games this year. So that's a plus. He's played eight, I think, of the 18 for the Pelicans. And so, yeah, I guess that's another silver lining. Like all the things to be grateful for the Pelicans are just like silver lining type things, not exactly like good things in and of themselves. So, yeah, these teams at the bottom obviously are going to be more depressing, but we'll just soldier through them. 27th, I have the Utah Jazz. Lauri Markkanen is really, you know, the main thing you guys can be grateful for. He's going to be, whether or not he's going to stay in Utah long term, who knows, but he's going to serve you guys very well in terms of being an asset, you know, because I'm sure there's going to be a Lauri Markkanen sweepstakes at this trade deadline. I think he'll probably be, might be the biggest name, honestly, on the market this year. The only guy that could rival that is maybe Anthony Davis, maybe, if that really happens. I know he's in the trade talks a lot. Maybe Devin Booker, you know, Zion. But still, like, Lauri Markkanen might be, he's like arguably the number one name, even with those guys, because of his health and ability to contribute to a winner or a championship this season. So he has a case, honestly, to be above all of those guys for that. I think, honestly, is he over all of those people in the Ringer 100? I know the Ringer 100 just came out today, which is another thing we could talk about. I'm just going over to glance at that, though, to see where they had him ranked. I'm pretty sure he was pretty high. Yeah, they have him 26th on the Ringer 100. And so let's see where those other guys are. I guess Devin Booker, I did mention him. He's not like as much in the trade talks as like some other people, but he is definitely higher than that. I think he's 12. He's all the way up at 12. And then Anthony Davis is at 19. So both those guys are over Markkanen. But Markkanen is over guys like Trae Young by a lot. Trae Young's all the way down at 39. He's another guy who's on the trade books. Wow, I'm just having to scroll forever to find who I'm trying to find. Where is Zion Williamson and Ja Morant? Are they not in the top 60? Okay, Ja Morant is exactly 60 and Zion Williamson is 61. So they're both right there. But yeah, that's crazy that they're that. I mean, it makes sense because of the injuries and stuff and Ja's situation also. But yeah, we're getting on a little bit of a tangent here. I just wanted to check where Markkanen was in comparison to those guys. And he is well above those other names. Yeah, so Lauri Markkanen is the thing that the Utah Jazz can be thankful for. Walker Kessler is also looking really good, even though he's out now. He's been out for a while. But he started off the season looking really good. Keontae George is also popping off. Not to be confused with Keyshawn George with the Wizards. Keontae George. Both of them are having really good second seasons in the NBA. Yeah, Utah Jazz definitely, I'd say, much, much brighter of a situation than any team that we've listed so far. I have a good amount of faith in Danny Ainge and, you know, the front office there. They have like things to work with. They have a future, you know, they have options to build a good franchise, a good team to compete there again in Utah. The Sacramento Kings, I have a 26th. This one, it might be the most nothing. It's them or the Pelicans, I feel like, for teams that just have nothing. And maybe the Grizzlies that we'll get to, that they're really not a lot to be thankful for either. But But with the Kings, I guess Nick Clifford, honestly, he's like, he's been a good rookie, but he's also really old. Like, he's probably not going to get a lot better than he is right now. Who knows? He's one of the older rookies who was, you know, that was like the profile on him that, or the scouting report, you know, that he was going to be one of the older rookies, but he's like the most game ready, most NBA ready of anybody in the draft, really, outside of, you know, maybe some of the top guys like Cooper Flagg or so on. But yeah, Nick Clifford has looked really good. Looks like he could play basketball, just about anywhere. Going to be plug and play, going to have a long career. He just knows how to play. But the issue is with the Kings, you know, maybe you have some guys like that, some other guys even beyond Nick Clifford, that like Keon Ellis, Devin Carter, some guys that could be, you know, good ancillary pieces someday or even right now. They just don't have, they have like a mess of like a core. They don't have a core. It's like, who is a part of this team moving forward? Domantas Sabonis might be your best trade ship. Maybe Keegan Murray, I guess, could, but, you know, he's pretty overpaid at this point. And then obviously all the other, it's just a crazy mess of a team, the Kings. Not a lot to be thankful for. And also not a lot to be, have faith in. You know, you got a brand new front office, so maybe you can hope for a different direction there than you've had the past few years. But with Vivek still at the helm of it all as the owner, I wouldn't be, you know, too hopeful about that. But yeah, so that's the Kings. The Pacers, I have at 25th. And the thing that I think the Pacers can be great for is very easy. You know, you're in a gap year and you somehow traded to get your own pick this year, which you didn't have prior. You traded in the finals while your team was in the finals, you know, in case you forgot, the Thunder and the Pacers in the finals this year. I don't remember which games it was in between, but at one point during the finals, there was a trade that was announced that the Pacers made to reacquire their own pick this season. And that was before Tyrese Haliburton went down with a torn Achilles and, you know, solidified this year as a gap year for, that you can tank in. And, you know, like I just said before, in a really, really good loaded draft, like this is a great draft to tank for. That's just crazy. That's something that the Pacers can definitely be grateful for. That's a very easy one. So yeah, there's the Pacers. And then we've got 24th, the Charlotte Hornets. Things to be grateful for: Con Knipple, Ryan Kalkbrenner, Sion James, really all the rookies, even Liam McNeely, from what I've seen, hasn't looked bad in there, hasn't got as much opportunity nearly as these other guys, but especially Con Knipple looks like a star. And then Ryan Kalkbrenner walked into the league as a like pretty decent starting center, like a passable starting center in the NBA, which is not easy to do. And also me being in Omaha, I got to shout out my Creighton and Nebraska people whenever I can. And so Ryan Kalkbrenner definitely deserves a shout out, being a former Blue Jay. Now here at 23, we've got the Dallas Mavericks. Things for the Dallas Mavericks to be grateful for: Nico Harrison is gone, I guess. Finally, he's gone. But that doesn't fix what he did at all. But Cooper Flagg will be awesome eventually someday. And you'll get more healthy eventually someday as well. Maybe you can trade Anthony Davis for something to, you know, build around Cooper in the future. Same with Kyrie Irving. Or maybe they got those guys come back healthy enough and Cooper becomes at least good enough to carry this team, which I feel like this team could be good right now. It's just, we don't know with all the injuries, but like, and Cooper just came out of the gates a little slow. Not really helped out by the situation with the injuries and him being forced to play point guard for some reason at the beginning of the season. I think they've stopped that for the most part now. Jason Kidd has come to his senses a little bit. But yeah, there we go for the Mavericks at 23. The Grizzlies are the next team at 22. Something that the Memphis Grizzlies can be grateful for: I've got dumb GMs that might go all in for Ja. You know, across the league, there's always going to be some of those dumb GMs and some of those desperate teams also. You know, those desperate situations, like, you know, somebody that we've mentioned, the Kings, might go all in. I don't know what they would give you exactly, but something, I guess, some picks, maybe. And then the Clippers, who we haven't got to yet, but they are also a team that is looking pretty rough, and they're going to have some desperate moves here to come, I'm sure. And Ja, I think, will definitely be on the list of people for them to go get. And yeah, so with the Grizzlies, it's kind of a silver lining thing, again, kind of with the Pelicans, just because, you know, there's not a lot going for you right now with the rough state of the team, and how divisive. I just don't understand the division like what happened exactly with the coaching structure and the vibes on the team. I'd heard that Taylor Jenkins, the players were out on him. And so then you make this move to put in Tomas Isolo, which it sounds like nobody has ever in the locker room really been on the side of. And John Morant has never had like a great relationship with. And now he's, you know, doing what he's doing, pouting and kind of mailing it in, you know. So it's rough there with Memphis. It's crazy how the vibes have fallen from, you know, just a couple years ago. But that's where we are now with the Grizzlies. Number 21, I've got the Chicago Bulls. Things to be grateful for. Just the vibes, honestly, in Chi-Town. Like, with the past couple years, the direction of the franchise looking very bleak, you've stumbled into a fun team here. With Josh Giddey just playing out of his mind, being like a legit engine of an offense full-time, and then Modest Buzelis being young and exciting, getting better. Other guys like Isaac Okoro coming in and overperforming from, you know, what people thought. And then now you're reintegrating Coby White, who's coming back from injury. The ceiling might be a little bit higher. Could be like a real play-in team that could make it out of the play-in. I mean, make it into the Eastern Conference playoffs. And with the recent circumstances, I feel like that's definitely something that people in Chicago can be grateful for. And that brings us to the 20th spot on my power rankings. Before I reveal the team there, I will first throw us to a quick break. I'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome back. We're going through my power rankings onto the number 20 team. I've got the Los Angeles Clippers here. This is where they fall for me. The thing that the LA Clippers fans can be thankful for this season is, and it's not even really this season, so this is a tough sell, but cap space is what I have because of, you know, the moves that you made, main one being the Norm Powell trade to acquire John Collins and then, you know, get Bradley Beal on a very, very minimal deal. But, you know, Bradley Beal's out for the season and is looking like his career might be like close to over. John Collins has been fine, but nothing spectacular. Not a great fit, him playing alongside a non-spacer like Zoo. And then the lineups with Brook Lopez that we're, you know, you were probably kind of counting on John Collins to be able to excel in with, you know, being able to put some pressure on the rim with Brook Lopez being the spacer. Brook Lopez has looked washed and, you know, doesn't have a lot of value to be out there anymore. So that kind of ruins that idea there. But anyways, yeah, cap space. The thing that I like is the silver lining here is that you will have cap space moving forward in here in the next couple summers because of, you know, that you got off that Norm Powell expiring deal that, you know, he was going to need to be re-upped for at a very high number. And so you were able to maybe get a little bit of value there, which even if it doesn't end up being actual value, you'll have some money to work with Steve Ballmer obviously being willing to pay quite a bit of money for his players, sometimes even beyond the salary cap. But in the future, I think that there's still something to look forward to, I guess, with the Clippers. Other, like, you know, you don't have a ton of your own picks. I think you do have some, but not a lot of them. And so there's that. That's not awesome either. But yeah, I'm just trying to find one silver lining. Clippers are, there's not a lot of stuff to go good for you when you're being investigated and, you know, have this scandal going on and multiple scandals, actually, because it includes like the gambling scandal stuff also. Yeah, not great. But so that brings us to the number 19 team in my power rankings, and that is the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns are above the Clippers in the power rankings as, like, you know, the contenders of the NBA, which is wild. If you would have told me that before the season, and I don't even know if like it's all that true, but I just believe it at this point because the Suns are playing so much better and then they have a great player in Devin Booker. Like it's not like beyond the realm of possibility that the Suns like maybe like do something in the play-in. Like they could do something, and like the Clippers, yeah, their ceiling might be a little bit higher, but their like median range of results right now is I'd say like pretty far below where the Suns look like it is right now, you know? So anyways, the things to be thankful for the Suns, I've got vibes again, kind of like with what I said with the Bulls, just because coming into the year, well, not a lot of people were super high. I was high on both these teams actually though, as far as vibes goes, but you know, they, especially the Suns, have outpaced my expectations. And then Devin Booker is definitely somebody you can be grateful for. Somebody who seems like they're, you know, giving their all to Phoenix. He wants to be like basically what Kobe was to the Lakers. I think he said that before, that he wants to be that for the Suns and spend his whole career there. Who knows if that actually happens, but the fact that he's still like giving you his all and heading up this new team, just kind of a hodgepodge of players that was not expected to do much this year, being able to come out to an 11-7 start, I think is what they're at. Is their record even better than that right now? I might be selling them short. No, they are 11-7, but their point differential, their net rating is even better than that, I think. Yeah, they're, according to Cleaning the Glass, the with their net rating, they're playing with a 53 wins expected out of 82, which is pretty crazy. But so I wrote some other guys down here on the Suns just because some of these other teams, it was hard to like find anything. There's like definitely several things with the Suns that you could list. And that is Grayson Allen having a career year, Colin Gillespie coming into his own also, which I always believed in him, but didn't get much of a chance here in Denver. Missed the whole first season of his career with a broken leg. And then when he came back, there was that civil war going on between the coaching staff and the front office where he was, you know, one of the cogs in that basically. And there, you know, several other point guards there in the rotation to choose from to be the backup point guard. So he's kind of like in a merry-go-round of options to be put there at the second string point guard. Anyways, though, he's been really good in Phoenix this season for them. Depth is another thing I just have written down. Just, you know, all the guys in general. Mark Williams at center spot playing like people thought he could in a winning situation. He's been doing that in Phoenix. And you've got just crazy depth behind him with Kaman Malawach that you just drafted in the lottery this year. And also even above him, Nick Richards. And then the Celtics I have at number 18 on the power rankings for things to be grateful for. Your history, your tradition, you know, all the 18 banners that you guys have in your rafters. But, you know, in terms of like this season, that this is just a gap year. This isn't actually, you know, the season or the future for the Celtics moving forward. You have your best player in a boot or in not in a boot, but, you know, whatever. He's not able to play basketball right now, recovering from a Achilles injury. But even with that, you guys are definitely, you're kind of like the Suns. You're outperforming, playing very well. I believe you're above 500. Yeah, you're 9-8 right now. So things are looking good there. You've got kind of a lot to be grateful for in Boston. And then at number 17 on my power rankings, I've got the Portland Trail Blazers. Things that the Blazers can be thankful for, I've got Denny Avdia as the number one thing with a bullet. Just kind of exploded into his own this year. That's something that I do want to touch on. I don't know if I'll get to it this episode or not, but I do want to touch on the plethora of most improved candidates this year. Since the year has started, it feels like there's way more this year than normal of the just amount of guys that are taking like a star jump. And then even the lower version of that, where players that are just turning into real guys this year, coming in and being rotational players that came out of nowhere. But yeah, other things that the Blazers can be thankful for. I've got Donovan Klingon also, you know, Tamani Kamara as well. Drew Holiday not being washed, like just having it, you know, some still left in the tank for this squad. And then, you know, just a lot of young players. Obviously, being able to do all this with the head coach situation, your coach just got dragged away by the FBI in the middle of the night after, I think, like the second or third game or something like that, whenever it was. You know, just kind of being able to weather the storm there is something to be thankful for as well. Then I've got the Raptors at the 16 spot, the Toronto Raptors. Vibes is another one for this team, or, you know, this is another team with vibes as the thing that they could be thankful for. Darko Rajakovic, their head coach, honestly being able to have every rotation work flawlessly. The way that he's got his lineup set up, being able to play the whole game with their two stars staggered and Brandon Ingram and Scottie Barnes. And then, like, I think they still have the best bench in the league in terms of net rating, which is crazy. I wasn't really thinking this is a team that was going to have a super deep bench this season, as they have like the highest paid top five in the NBA, basically. And then the other thing I've listed for things to be thankful for the Toronto Raptors is the power of friendship. Kind of goes along with what I was just saying, just being a tight-knit unit that are playing really well together, you know, beating teams, playing well, being a real competitor in this Eastern Conference, to be honest. Then we've got the Sixers. I have them at 15th. Tyrese Maxey is the thing that all Sixers fans can be beyond grateful for. He's looking like an MVP candidate. As you know, if you guys were able to win some games, which you have been overall, but if you guys are able to stay above 500 at the end of the year, I think Tyrese Maxey might make it on some MVP ballots if he keeps up his current pace, which is like 32 points a game. Kind of, it goes with the most improved thing that I kind of don't want to step on too much in case I have enough time to get to that. So other guys though, VJ Edcombe being arguably like rookie of the year. I think Colin Campbell was past him in that, but at one point I think VJ Edcombe was definitely the leader in that. And then Quentin Grimes being awesome again this year. Wasn't sure if that was going to stick or not, but it definitely has. And I guess I didn't even write this one down, but I just thought of it. Another thing that Sixers fans can be thankful for is a future without Embiid. You know, you're not relying on Embiid or Paul George even. Like, if those guys just never play again, it's not like a total catastrophe for your franchise because of the exciting young pieces that you have in the young core moving forward that you're able to cultivate and like acquire without ever losing Embiid entirely, you know? And then I've got the Bucks at number 14 on the power rankings. Things to be thankful for, obviously, Giannis Antetokounmpo still wearing a Bucks jersey, not asking out, hasn't asked out yet. So I think that's something to be thankful for at this point of the year. And then Ryan Rollins is the other one. Just the revelation of like, I thought that Cole Anthony was going to be like the starting point, or he's going to be like playing 30 to 35 minutes a game, dominating possessions, playing like, you know, being a top 15 pick and roll ball handler in the NBA. But no, that has been Ryan Rollins. And Cole Anthony is basically playing the same role that he has been his whole career so far as like a decent backup guard. He's just completely leapfrogged Cole Anthony in line and became the starter there. And it's working like so far. It seems like every game he's had some bad nights too, but like, it's not just the first game or two that it happened. I was like, is this like a fluke, you know, like Linsanity type of thing, which I hesitate to even call Linsanity like that much of a fluke, but, that kind of felt dirty coming out of my mouth, to be honest. But Ryan Rollins, though, I think it is pretty real for the most part. And it's been exciting to watch. I love stories like that. Guys just that come out of nowhere and all of a sudden are like one of your best players. Like he literally has been maybe their third best player, if not second best player on the Bucks this season, which is just crazy. And then at number 13, I've got the Miami Heat. Things to be thankful for, Eric Spoelstra. As well as this new offensive system that has been implemented in part due to Nola Roach, who is, you know, one of the assistants over in Memphis with Taylor Jenkins when they implemented this offensive scheme. That's like, you know, it's very different and kind of, I don't know what the ceiling of it is exactly, like in the playoffs, but it's very interesting in the regular season, the results that it's getting. Them running by far the least amount of dribble handoffs and pick and rolls in the NBA, which is like, that's like the actions that dominate the league and have been the past decade or so. And in case you don't know what I'm talking about at all, the Miami Heat offense now is just, it's basically just drive and kick, like fill and replace. It's like a fluid read and react offense. There's no play. Like this, every play is the same play. You're playing off of what decisions the guy with the ball makes when he drives. If he drives to the rim, he can either shoot, kick it out, and either wait in the lane for a little bit for like the pass back or like cut through. It depends on where like different people on the floor are. But yeah, it's a lot of just players rotating and then passing out to the top of the key for the next guy to just do the same exact thing that they did and drive to the rim and assess their options. And it's working really well. And it's sharing the ball. Everybody is like very, very a part of it. Lots of people having like a lot better numbers offensively this season with Jaime Jaquez and Norm Powell having, even after he just had his career year last year with the Clippers, now he's having even a better year so far. As for other things to be thankful for, Khalil Ware just having another year where he's developing into what he's going to be as a very, very young athletic NBA big. And then Simone Fontecchio, one of my guys, you know, always fun to have in there, playing really well, coming on off the bench, just somebody that's nice to have. So I'll include him in this as well. And then on to number 12 in my power rankings, I've got the Golden State Warriors. Things for the Warriors to be thankful for, Steph Curry. Like really, it should start and end there. I might say a couple other things, maybe Draymond Green a little bit. He hasn't been like, you know, it hasn't been his best season, obviously. He's continuing to get older, but he's definitely still got it. You know, some left in the tank for sure. And so that brings me to the number 11 spot in the NBA power rankings this season. And I've got the Orlando Magic here at this spot. Things for the Orlando Magic fans to be thankful for. I've got options written down, basically. Just like, you know, you've got Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, both guys that can be like cornerstones of your franchise moving forward, in my view, in a lot of people's views. And I think you have, the reason why I say options is because I think you have a future building around both of them together, as well as choosing one of them and trading off the other. Like Like, I think the Magic can have a salvageable future choosing any of those three paths. And as far as this season, I think the Magic are just going to keep getting better. Desmond Bain, I think, is continuing to get better. Jalen Suggs hopefully will be more healthy as the season goes along. I think the Magic are trending up, to be honest. So that brings us to the number 10 spot in the thankful rankings, or whatever this is called. I just named it now, I guess. But before we get to that, though, before I reveal my number 10 spot, I will first throw us to another break here before we finish it off. We're two-thirds of the way through, so I'll see you on the other side of that. All right, welcome back. Going through my NBA power rankings this season, and I've got the Atlanta Hawks here at number 10. Jalen Johnson is something that they can be thankful for, without a doubt, and also kind of coupled with that, a future with or without Trae Young. I think kind of like with a mixture of the Magic one and the Sixers one from before. With the Sixers, I was saying that you have a future without Embiid. And with the Magic, I was saying you have options. You know, you have Paolo, Franz, or Paolo and Franz together. You know, any of those options, I think, are like worthy options to explore. And they will like give at least decent results, I would say. With the Hawks, it's kind of a blend of those two, because you can be thankful for the fact that even if you move on from Trae Young, you have like this young core here that is really something to build around, with Jalen Johnson mainly, but also with Zachary Risa-Shea, even Onyeka Okongwu to a certain extent. He's, you know, still pretty young. Asa Newell, Keaton Wallace is playing really well for you guys right now. Dyson Daniels is still young. And so, you know, that's kind of why you hear all these people opining and saying that Trae Young should be traded this year, because they're doing pretty well. They were, at least. They were winning pretty decently without him, as he's been injured. But I think also there's another upside that you can look at of this team playing well without him and being just pretty deep and having a lot to go around here outside of Trae Young, is him coming back and working his way into the fold and deferring, kind of like how he started to last season, playing like ethical basketball and, like, honestly leaning into fitting in and elevating the ceiling of this team. Like, you have a future with Trae Young as well with this squad. I don't think there's any reason that the Hawks should feel pressure to have to trade Trae Young at this point. You know, I think that there's hope to be had that this team is still built to have Trae Young with it, because like Jalen Johnson, it isn't like you need to trade your other best player to have Jalen Johnson be like the focal point. It's not like he's a Luka or anything like that, where you need to build around the team to where he has the ball all the time type of thing. Like, he's a pretty different, you know, unique best player on a team, to be quite honest, because he can kind of mold and shapeshift and, you know, go in and out of different roles, play alongside a lot of people, kind of just do whatever is needed out there. He's a very like well-rounded do-it-all wing who, like, I wouldn't say his strength necessarily is like just straight up shot creation. It's like all of the little things around that you do in the game of basketball. And so for that reason, like, I think obviously he's probably a better player overall at the end of the day, him at his apex versus Trae Young. I would say that's definitely the case. But at the same time, Trae Young, when you have those two guys together, they're a pretty good complement in theory, because of how Trae Young can be. Like, it would just kind of be unique having a guy like Jalen Johnson be the best player on your team, but then Trae Young being like the more stereotypical lead ball handler and have like more of the duties of a number one option, if that makes sense. But anyways, I think that's enough for the Hawks. We've got the number 9 spot next on the power rankings, and this is where I have the San Antonio Spurs. And obviously what the Spurs fans can be thankful for is Victor Wembanyama, as well as having like more than enough guards to pair with him, with De'Aaron Fox, Dylan Harper, Steph Castle. I think you'll keep at least two of those guys. And I didn't even mention Devin Vassell, but you can throw him in there as well. And also, you've got a lot of draft picks, like more than a lot of teams in the NBA. I think the Thunder and maybe the Hawks, not the Hawks, but maybe the Hawks, they have a lot of picks too. But I was going to say the Rockets, there we go. Those might be some of the only teams that have more draft picks moving forward than the Spurs. Yeah, we've definitely entered the range of, you know, all these teams have quite a lot to be thankful for at this point, and the Spurs are no exception. They might have like the most to be grateful for, because if you're drafting all the teams in the NBA, of which team would you like to have for the next 10 years, Spurs might be number one. If they're not number one, they're probably number two behind the OKC Thunder. So yeah, a lot to be grateful for there for sure. Now on to number 8 on the power rankings. I've got the Los Angeles Lakers here. And obviously there's one thing above all else that the Lakers can be thankful for this year, and that is Nico Harrison. and by extension, Luka Doncic, I guess, as well. Austin Reeves popping off and having a career year, which is insane to say. Like, every year of his career so far has been a new career year. He's just continuing to get better. I'm done putting a ceiling on Austin Reeves. He might be the best player in the world next season. But, you know, something else the Lakers can be thankful for is being able to have a pretty good record so far this season without LeBron James being here at all this whole time. I think he's played three games now, actually, since he's come back. And yeah, I think they're sitting at 12 or 13 and 4, maybe, is the record at the moment. So that's something to be thankful for as well this year, when people were talking about the Lakers coming into the year as like, this could be another gap year. Still trying to figure out how to build their team moving forward around Luka in the best way possible, like getting like a star big man to pair with him. Right now, it's been just kind of like a temporary situation with DeAndre Ayton and Jackson Hayes and whoever else they can roll in there. Moving on now to number 7, I've got the Minnesota Timberwolves. Obviously, the thing that they are most thankful for is probably Anthony Edwards, but Jaden McDaniels has taken a big step up this year, it seems like. We'll see if that holds once everybody's, you know, back to healthy and playing for a longer stretch. But also there's Naz Reid on the Wolves that I'm sure a lot of people are very, very thankful for, being able to retain him, bring him back on a pretty good salary. And I think Wolves fans also should be very thankful for being able to stay afloat while Anthony Edwards was injured, their best player. You know, he's been out, but somehow they've been able to maintain their position in the standings. They're sitting at 10-7 right now, which I guess is the 7th spot in the West. But they're really only 2 games back from the Rockets in the 4th spot. Then I've got the New York Knicks at number 6. And I think the thing that they can be most thankful for is probably depth. You know, just in comparison to the past couple of years, the thing that's really taken them out in the playoffs has been their lack of depth and, you know, people just kind of wearing thin in their lineup as the long season wears on. But now they have quite a few options, you know, coming off the bench with Gershon Yabusele, Jordan Clarkson, Miles McBride, even Josh Hart has been, you know, on a bench role when they're fully healthy. And so, yeah, I think the depth is huge for New York. Then I've got the Cavs at number 5. Even though they've gotten off to a slower start, I think that they are going to be picking it up. And like the thing I just kind of said about the Wolves, you know, being able to stay in the standings, keep a pretty good record with, you know, your best player out. The Cavs is not their best player, but they have been having a lot of injuries, you know, to start the year with Garland mainly. But, you know, all their guys have kind of been in and out. Max Strus has still not played a game, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, they've been able to stay afloat. Sam Merrill has been a revelation for them. And then number 4, I've got the Detroit Pistons, who have been just the feel-good story of the NBA. Vibes just all the way through the roof. Cade Cunningham taking a massive step up, even though he was my pick for most improved player last season. But, you know, Jalen Duren also taking a huge step up. And then Trajan Langdon, their president of basketball operations. I think that's somebody they can definitely be thankful for. The Houston Rockets are the next team I have at 3rd. They also are thankful for vibes, I'd say. But also Ime Udoka, their head coach, who's just really ingrained a system there that is all about, you know, defense and fighting hard. And they've been able to more than survive thus far without a point guard, really, in Fred VanVleet. You know, they're losing him this entire season. Reed Shepard has started to come along lately, but even before he was coming along, they were somehow, you know, scrapping together and playing really well. Some of the best basketball in the NBA, to be quite honest. And yeah, it's all just working there with Alper Engungu taking another step up. Same with Amen Thompson. Jabari Smith Jr. has fit in and maximized his role. They've also been missing Tari Eason for a lot of this season. But yeah, they've been playing really well. And I think there's lots of things to be thankful if you're a Rockets fan. Number 2, I have the Nuggets. Obviously, Nikola Jokic is the thing that Nuggets fans, all of us, are the most thankful for, without a doubt. But also, I have listed here Josh Kroenke. Just because, you know, he's the one who stepped in finally. Maybe he should have done it before, but, you know, he finally stepped in and fired the previous regime of Calvin Booth and then also Michael Malone as the head coach. I think both those have proved to be very good moves, especially I'd say the front office one, being as they've made all these moves to improve the team so drastically this season. I don't know if that any of that happens without that change being made there. So. And then also, I'll just throw an extra thankfulness to Jamal Murray for coming into the season so healthy and in shape and just having the best start to a season of his career so far. And then number 1, obviously, the Oklahoma City Thunder. So far in the season, they're on pace to be the best team ever, and they haven't even had their second best player play a game yet. I think that speaks for itself altogether. And it's not even like one of those situations where their second best player is, you know, maybe an addition by subtraction. because he doesn't fit super well with the rest of the team. Not that at all. He fits in perfect. He's like a perfect complement to their best player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He, you know, had huge games throughout the playoffs, dropped 40 in a finals game last season to win it all. And yeah, somehow they're on pace to win like 77 games this season, even without him thus far. So, and even they've had Dort without, you know, they've been without Dort, Lugens Dort, their second best or arguably their best defender. Both those guys, Jalen Williams and Lugens Dort, are two of their most important defensive pieces. And without them, they've been the best defense of all time, even better than last year, which they, you know, had that record setting season last year. So yeah, there's a million things to be thankful for as a Thunder fan. You could also be thankful for Paul George or Damian Lillard, honestly, hitting that half court buzzer beater to win that seven game series, or not even, I think it was five games, I want to say, whatever it was, you know, it was a series ender, series winner in 2019 that broke up the Paul George and Russell Westbrook Oklahoma City Thunder team that, you know, set this all into motion. So yeah, that's all the things that they can be thankful for. And I think that'll do it for today's episode. It's going to be a shorter one. Just wanted to get it out though. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Stay happy, stay healthy. I will talk to you guys next episode.